Aren't you glad that we've got something to believe in that's bigger than us? Ain't you glad that we've got someone to believe in that believes in us? Amen? Jesus believes in you. He believes in us. And you know what? There's no such things as accidents or happenstance or coincidences. You know, out of His book, now, you know, I have, out of my life, I've made decisions certain times not to live out of His book. But every time that I live out of the book of the Lord, I recognize and realize that my steps are ordered. Amen? And when you and I, when we walk and live out of His book, we end up in certain places at certain times, and there's divine connections. There's intersections in our life that changes us. And I believe tonight that there's no accident that you and I are here. There's a divine purpose, a divine reasoning. And you and I, if we'll just all come together and just let the Spirit of God just reveal Jesus to us, He is all that we need, just as the song said. We're going to see some things happen in our life. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of living in the norm. I want to live up here. I want to live in a higher level, a higher plane that only Jesus can allow us and enable us and empower us to be able to do. You know, we can live above where the very storms of life are. Every one of us tonight, if we had time, we could tell about the storms that we're dealing with and that we're going through, the struggles. But Jesus is greater than all of those. Amen? I'm so thankful for each and every one of you that you took time out of your life to be here tonight to worship the Lord and just to give Him praise and also to receive guidance and instruction. I believe we're all going to leave here. We're going to leave here in a clear understanding of what our life is all about. Amen? You believe that? I believe that. Glory. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father in heaven, we love you, we honor you, we magnify your name. We're thankful, Lord, for the very presence that we feel. We thank you for the understanding that without you that we're lost and undone. We have no hope, but through you, we not only have life, but we have eternal life, and we have abundant life in this very span of time that you gave us. Father, we just right now, we give all praise to you. We just ask that you just lead us and guide us into your perfect will. We make ourselves available, each one of us, as a vessel to you, Lord. You use us, you speak through us, you help us to hear. We thank you that by the Spirit of God, our hearts are open to what you'd have for us tonight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We ask these things, Father, in the name of Jesus. Glory. Hallelujah. If you would, open up your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 5. This morning we was in Matthew chapter 4. I just want us to understand. I don't want to read all of this as a text, but I just want us to we'll just read verses 1 through 3 for a text, and then we'll see what happens. We'll break these things down in just a moment of time. So Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse number 1. If you're there, say amen. Notice what the Word of God says. And seeing the multitudes, this is Jesus, He looks and He sees the multitudes, and He went up into a mountain, and when He was set, His disciples came unto Him. And He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, for the first time out of 9 times, verse number 3, He said, blessed, mark that down in your mind's eye, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Brother Donnie, would you pray for us? Yes.
And we give you the glory, the name, and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Brother Donnie. Hallelujah. Now, we're going to talk about some things, and as we talk about these, there's going to be some things that your mind is going to wonder about. And because this is, we're going to plow a little deeper tonight, and we're going to talk about some things that's going to help us for this upcoming year. Now, we are Christian, we go under the name of Jesus Christ, and we're not under the law. As we talked about, we are under grace. But everything in the Old Testament is a type and a shadow to help you and I tonight to see Christ better and to understand that God has timing and seasons for everything. So I'm very excited that each one of you is here tonight, because on God's calendar, and I know it sounds odd to us, but on God's calendar, when the sun goes down, it's New Year's. New Year's, Rosh Hashanah, it's a brand new year. And for those of you who were here last year, we talked about in God's calendar, it was the year 5,778. And God's numbers, they always mean something. And so this, we looked at last year. Last year was the year of the open door. And praise God, as we're closing out that open door, we're coming into the fruition of what that means to you and I tonight. What does that mean to us tonight? Tonight, as we're coming into the year 5,779, the year of Tet, the year of number 9, this is what it looks like. If you had a Hebrew Bible and you were looking, that, and when you saw the letter 9, that's what it would look like. Now, in the Word of God, you've always got to rightly divide the Word of God, and you've got to understand that there's good and there's evil. There's positive and there's negative. And so we don't look at the negative. We look at the positive. The positive side of this being the year of Tet, the year of 9, the year that is the open vessel. Meaning tonight that you and I, we have a divine appointment that God had brought us through this past year as the devil tried to kill us. As the devil wanted to destroy God's plan and God's will, we walk through Jesus Christ. He is the open door. Amen. And as you and I walk through this whole year, He prepared us for tonight to get us started in this coming year where we can fill up completely with Jesus Christ. He wants you to be a vessel that is full of the love of God, that is full of the power of God, full of the peace of God, full of the joy of God. And I want you to know tonight that no matter what you feel like, no matter what it looks like, that you are, if you do what Jesus says, you are blessed. You are blessed. I am blessed tonight. And so how do we come to that place of being full of God? We've got to learn how to do what Scripture says, empty out of self, right? And fill up with what He would have us to fill up with. So, between now and next Wednesday, not this coming Wednesday, but the 16th, is Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. That's the high day of Christianity. That's the day that we understand that the blood of Jesus takes away all of your sin and all of my sin. I don't know about you, but I have been laden down before in sin. I have carried a load. And I've been in the place of forgiveness. Hallelujah. And the place of forgiveness is so much better. Amen. So much lighter. Amen? And so, let's look at these scriptures. And I want you to keep in mind that there's 9 Beatitudes. There's 9 ways to being full of the blessing of God. There's 9 fruit of the Spirit to be full of God. There's 9 gifts of the Spirit to be full of God. Amen? And the number 9 simply means fruitful, we could say, in a simple form. And I want you to know that when God took and He blessed His children, He said, I want you to be fruitful and multiply. The devil wants to keep you and I from being fruitful in all of our lives, every area. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ has came that you might not only have life, I might not only have life, but we may have it more abundantly. Amen? So let's look at this. Verse number 3, Jesus Christ, red letter, He says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now see, here's what we've got to understand is, the Bible says that the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them who are what? Who are perishing. But to you and I, it's the glory of God, because we know that through the cross that Jesus Christ, that He, the sinless Son of God, the sinless Lamb of God, that He went to that cross and He died in my place. He died in the whole world's place. And but He done that where He could bring the kingdom of heaven to you, to me. I couldn't get to the kingdom of heaven because I was separated from it by sin. Amen? So Jesus looked down and He said, I love them people so much. I love them and I call them my people. You know, I've got family that won't claim me. But Jesus does. Amen? Jesus does. And He claims you and He is wanting a relationship with you and I more than we can ever understand. But He wants us to see that this word blessed, it means how happy, how joyous, how overflowing is your life when you understand that if you're poor in spirit, that the kingdom of heaven becomes yours. What does that mean to be poor in spirit? All I have to do is I've got to recognize that if I'll humble myself and come to the Lord, He'll give me everything else. Everything. Everything that I'm looking for in this world that looks right, that looks shiny, that looks pretty, that looks satisfying, all it has ever done is lied to me. It has lied to me, and it has hurt me, and it has not fulfilled me in any form or fashion. But I've got a Jesus Christ who says, if I will just humble my heart and understand that I, on my own, as Brother Corey testified, I cannot come to God, but I can come to Him through Jesus Christ. And if I'll come to Him, that means that I recognize that I'm spiritually bankrupt, and I'm poor in spirit, that He will make me rich. Rich, not in just this temporal stuff that's going to go away, but rich in the true things. The peace of God, the joy of God. But yes, He will help meet our needs too. Amen? That's the kind of God He is. So tonight, I want to empty out of every lie that would try to lift itself up against or above what Jesus has promised. I want to say, Lord, I'm going to come to You humbly, and I'm going to allow You to take this out of my life, and then You put what You have in place of it. Oh, glory. Every one of us, if we'd be honest with each other, every day we have a revelation of something that the Lord wants to take out of our life, but then when He takes it out, He puts something better. He puts something that's lasting. He puts something that is just a perfect fit for us. Notice what He says. He said, blessed are the poor in the spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now let's go to the book of Proverbs and let's read a verse. Proverbs chapter 13. Help us to understand this verse just a little bit. Because this is the key to getting all the blessings of God, is this humility. Because if we don't get that down, we'll never go anywhere else. Proverbs 13 verse number 7 says, Proverbs 13 and 7, there is that that maketh himself rich, yet have nothing. Can I testify to you tonight? I know all about that. I have done everything and grabbed everything I could grab, thinking that was going to satisfy me, thinking that was going to give me peace of mind, thinking that was going to allow me to lay down and sleep. But it was a lie. See, the things that the world promises, they've got little roots to them. And those little roots, they feed other things into my life, into your life. And the things ultimately end up being things that are destructive, that are hurtful, that are harmful, that actually zap the very good things of God. He said, there is that that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that that maketh himself poor. Say, that's me. I choose tonight to say, testify, I am poor. I'm spiritually bankrupt without Jesus. Amen. I have nothing without the Lord. There is that that maketh him or herself, no gender intended, poor, yet hath what? Great riches. Great riches. That great riches is the relationship with God the Father through the Son, by the ever-abiding presence of their Spirit. Oh my, that's the richest thing on earth. That's the richest thing in the universe, is the understanding that no matter where you're at in life, God is there with you. He's wanting to lead you, wanting to lead me, wanting to talk to us, wanting to tell us about what we're dealing with. You know, there's things that happens every day in our life. Things that the enemy uses to hurt us, to discourage us, to try to stop us. But yet, God says, if you'll be humble before me, I'll take you by the hand. He made a promise. Jesus said that if you would come unto me and you would call unto me, he said that I would become your shepherd. We would become the sheep of his fold. And he said that if we would make him our shepherd, we would not want. Psalms 23, one very familiar Psalms. Everyone probably has had a placard on the wall or seen it somewhere, but the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. I shall not lack. God has good things for us. Everything that I'm lacking in my life is because there's a devil that is working to steal, kill, and destroy and take it from me. But I want to be that vessel that Sister Victoria put up there that's full of these blessings. Amen. Because I want to be able to be tipped over by the Holy Spirit and pour those blessings out on others. Don't you? I want to pour what God's poured in me out. And the only way I can do that is I've got to humbly be in that place where I know that if I let go of everything in this world, that I gain everything in the world to come. But not just in the world to come, I gain the assurance that my God's going to help me in this life to the fullness. Now see, what I've done for a long time in my life, I would pray, and I believe with all my heart that God heard my prayer. You know, they say God won't hear you if you're a sinner, but God saved me a lot of times and kept me from death. Amen? So I don't believe that. I believe that God, he hears us. But there was a devil that was trying to talk me out of this good God. There was a devil that wanted to keep me full of the things that didn't satisfy, the things that I had to keep adding to. Getting bigger and larger, more detrimental to my health, to my life, to my well-being. Because always having to push the envelope to the next zip code, so to speak. But with God, it's not that way. With the Lord, he takes me where I'm at, and he says, I'm going to grab your hand, and I'm going to talk to you as we walk higher in me. And when I talk to you, you're going to see things as they really are. And you're going to start experiencing life the way that I intended it to be. Life that is joyous. Life that is beyond just a moment of happiness and then a week of torment. Come on now. We've all been there. Now one more time. There is that that maketh himself, herself rich, yet hath nothing. And there is that maketh him, herself poor, yet hath great riches. Verse number 8. The ransom of a man's life are his riches, but the poor heareth not rebuke. The light of the righteous rejoiceth, but the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. The light of the righteous rejoiceth. When you get saved, when you feel the Holy Spirit tugging on your heart, and saying, just come to Jesus. And you accept that all of a sudden there is a light that comes inside of you. And when that light comes inside of you, it illuminates those areas of your life, my life that was filled with darkness. And the blessings start being seen. We start recognizing that, hey, all my life, as the old song says, the Lord's been good to me. I just couldn't see it. When that light started shining in my heart, God started showing me times that I could have been killed in car accidents. There were several times when I took a chance. Could have killed myself, could have killed somebody else for the thrill of the moment. Under the influence from the outside things rather than under the influence of the Spirit of God on the inside. Amen. And God showed me that light started shining, and I started seeing how good God was. I started seeing there was a time in my life that I almost did something. And the Spirit of God's really been dealing with me about this, because I almost did something, and He said, if you'd have done that, you wouldn't be alive right now. If you had done that to the point of what you wanted to do, everything that you are experiencing now wouldn't be here. Now, if that doesn't grab you by the heart and make you think how good God is, holding this little baby granddaughter and thinking that she wouldn't be here in my arms because I wouldn't be here. Come on now. That's how good God is. Thinking about being able to be here to you, with you tonight in this church building, in the presence of God, it wouldn't have happened. But God kept me from that sin. God kept me from doing something to where they opened up the door where the devil could have took my life. Come on, every one of us, we're here tonight because God is on your side. God loves you. He has a plan for your life. I don't care what's happened. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care if the enemy is showing you all the bad things and all the negative things. I'm here tonight to tell you there's something better. There's something greater. And His name is Jesus. And He wants to bless you and I beyond our understanding. He wants to bring complete victory in our lives, complete healing in our lives. And He wants to put back together what the devil has broke apart. God can do it. Amen? He can do it. All right, go back to Matthew. Notice what it says. Matthew, now if we'll be humble in our spirit, that starts us on this journey. Verse number 4. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. I've got a lot of things tonight that I could just lay right down on this altar of, in the front row here, or this altar up here at the front. And I could just cry and cry and cry in the natural. Or I can kneel down before my Jesus. And I can allow Him to lay His hand on that hurt area. And He tells me, I understand. Because the Bible says that Jesus was in all points tempted as you and I are. He went through. He felt everything that you have felt. Jesus Christ felt it while He was on the cross. He has felt the pull of sin. He has felt the hurt of rejection. He has felt the worry of how am I going to take care of something that's bigger than me? How am I going to meet this need? He's felt all of that, and He carried it to His cross so you and I tonight would not have to carry it. And He wants to comfort you. He wants to comfort me. Tonight, He is wanting to reach down and put His very hand in your heart and bring healing to that area where you'll leave here forever changed. That empty feeling gone because you're filling up with the blessings of God, with the reality that He wants to walk and talk with you and I in every situation. Verse number 5. This is the third blessing. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. You know, we look around and we've took this word meek and we have mistranslated it. We've misapplied it. We look at somebody that's meek and we say, they're weak. But somebody who is meek is the strongest person on the face of the earth. The Bible talks about Moses in the Old Testament, said that he was the most meek man on the earth. Go to the New Testament, we got Jesus Christ, the most meek man in the New Testament ever. And so, you and I, if we will learn to give the battles to Jesus, just to be meek. In other words, I don't have to have the last word. I don't have to have the last action. I can just say, Lord, you know what I want to do. You know what I used to do. But now, I'm going to do what you did. I'm going to go to the Father in the name of Jesus. I'm going to give it to you, and you help me. And He said that, you know what He would do? He would take that out of my heart, and He would put the blessing in. Tonight, He wants you to be so joyous that it's contagious. Come on. When I'm negative, people around me get negative. But when I'm positive, when I'm full of the joy of the Lord, guess what? That spills over into other people's lives. You and I have got to see the power of the blessing of the Lord. Amen? In this new year, in this new time, we want to make sure that we're allowing Him to take everything out and put in what we need. Notice what He said in verse number 6, the fourth blessing. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they might be filled. Hallelujah. Our God doesn't halfway do anything. He said, if I will hunger and thirst after the things that's right, He'll make them right. Now, see, we cut that verse off when we think it just means that Jesus Christ, His blood will make us righteous. Yes, praise God. His blood will take away your sin, my sin, and make us righteous. But it also means that we're so happy, we're so blessed, because everything that's wrong in our life, He wants to make it right. He wants to take those words that were spoken that caused you to feel, that caused you to accept, caused me to accept a spirit of rejection. He wants to take that out. He wants to put a spirit of acceptance. Those things in our life that caused us to be so dejected and down, where it caused us to have a spirit that would just be oppressive. He wants to give us a garment of praise. A garment of joy. Amen? He has a divine exchange for you and I tonight. All we have to do is be willing to hear what He says, what He has to offer, and renounce what the devil has and accept the Lord's. Amen? It's so simple, but yet I make it so hard. Because sometimes I put more faith in a devil than I do in a loving Lord. And I got to repent. And guess what? He's right there. Arms open wide. Pulling me. Calling me. Making me understand how much He loves me. Okay. He says in verse number 7. He says, blessed. This is the fifth blessing. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Now you and I, we're living in a day and age where you could say the phrase is, it's a dog-eat-dog world. Get them before they get you. We're living in this time right now where the only thing that matters is what I think, what I feel, and I'm going to talk over you. And if you don't agree with me, I'm going to push you down and step on you. But God give you and I mercy. We didn't get judgment. We got mercy. Mercy. Mercy is the tender compassions of God, meaning that Jesus Christ has done took everything that was supposed to be placed on me at the judgment on Christ. Oh, I'm happy. I'm happy because the revelation is that I was a liar. I was a cheat. I was a lust. Come on. All you name them, you line them out. We could spend here all night labeling all the things. Yet, when Jesus looked at me, He didn't see me that way. He saw me out of His book. He saw me complete in Him. Amen?
Amen.
And you and I have got to come to that place where we empty out as we start this new year with all of these lies and all of the baggage of the past. And we fill up with who Jesus says we are. Amen?
Amen.
You believe that?
Amen.
So blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. That means that since God give me mercy, I can give my wife mercy. You can give your spouse mercy. You can give your kids mercy. You can give your boss mercy. You can give anybody, anytime mercy, because it's not you. It's the blessing of the Lord. Oh, I feel a run coming on, amen? We're talking about freedom tonight. I was bound for so long where if they hurt me, I might not say anything to hurt them back, but boy, I hurt them in my mind. I hurt them in my heart. Come on now. Didn't do a thing to them, but it brought me a lot of grief. It brought me a lot of turmoil. I ate a lot of Tums. I took a lot of, I can't think of what it's called, but you know, Prevacek or yes. Because why? Because it was churning in there. It was acid in the bitterness. That's what the Bible says. When you don't forgive, when I don't forgive, it's like a bitter poison. It's a root that rises up in us that destroys us. But tonight, I can say, I have no bitterness. I have no resentment, not making me look big, but I'm making Jesus look big. Because there was a time I couldn't say that. But I can say that night, that's how good God is. Amen? So whatever you might have in your life, no matter what somebody's done to you, tonight, you can allow Jesus to take that and He'll bless you. He'll fill you up, amen, with the very mercy of God that'll change your attitude. And if your attitude is changed, your action is changed. If your action is changed, your direction is changed. Amen? Glory. All right. Let's hurry through this. He said, verse number 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, that makes me want to shout, but I don't want to wake her up. Because I don't know about you, but I know me better than I know anybody else. I know what was in this heart. I like that because everybody feels the same way because... come on, we know. But you know what? God still loved me. God still loved me. And I got a promise in red from Jesus Christ that says that I can be pure in heart tonight. I can be, you can be, everybody who will call on the name of the Lord can be pure in heart. That's power. Because Jesus wants to take all of those things, those spots. See, my heart was spotted up with the things of the world, spotted up with the things of self, spotted up with all the lies of the devil. But when the blood of Jesus washed over my heart, all of those things were just as if they were never were. Amen? Because the Bible says, when you call on Jesus and I call on Jesus, that we become justified. What does that mean? It's just as if I never sinned. So when the devil comes to me and go, boy, you know what you thought? I didn't think a thing, devil. You're a liar. You're the one that's trying to put that thought in my heart. My heart's pure. My heart's washed in the blood of Jesus. You have no part, no lot in my heart. The Lord is filling my heart continually every day. And I'm emptying out. And I am so happy. I am so happy. I'm full of joy. And devil, you can't steal my joy. Amen? I give it to Him. But we're not going to do it. Amen? We're going to hold on to it by the grace of God, the power of God. All right, stay with me just a minute. He said in verse number 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, notice that last part. They shall see God. When the Lord washes your heart, when He washes my heart, you start seeing the Lord in things that you never saw before. You start seeing His blessings here, His provision there, His love, His intervention, His miracles that is working and changing things. You start seeing Him in everything. And all of a sudden, then you recognize and realize, boy, look, there's the sun coming up. God's in the sun. God is in my eyes. God is in my heart to make me recognize that God is in the sun and He's in my eyes. Amen? And at every moment then starts to become a different attitude. That joy, that blessedness starts changing everything about us. Amen? All right. Verse number 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Don't you love that? God didn't say that you were a peacekeeper. He said, you were a peacemaker. Raise your hand to heaven and say, I'm a peacemaker. Come on now, that's who you are. You are a peacemaker because Jesus Christ said you was. Why? Because one of the fruit of the Spirit is peace. And we won't have time to get into that tonight. But that is a fruit that comes out of your life. And that means you can walk up to anybody and you can give them peace. Now, as they partake of that peace, all of a sudden it comes all over them. But what is in every fruit unless man's messed it up by GMO? Say it again. A seed. Come on now. To put into somebody else's life where it will come out and keep going and going and going. This is our God. And you need to be more, you need to be have a bigger smile on your face than you got. Because we're talking about some things tonight that is going to change our very attitude of life. Amen. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. You know what the children of God means? That means that you are not just a child that is waiting on an inheritance. You're a child that is the inheritance. All things that belong unto the Father, he said that he gave unto Jesus. Everything that Jesus had, he give unto you, unto me. The Bible's very clear. It says that you are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Oh, how happy. Oh, how happy. How blessed. I have something. I have an inheritance. Amen. Okay, we'll move along. Verse number 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We want everybody to love us. We want everybody to like us. And we sure do like it when they agree with us. But guess what? That's a dream world. Even those that are close to us, sometimes they're not going to understand. But God can help that. Amen? Because of the blessing that is on your life. But there's going to be people that's going to come against you because you're wanting to come out of where you were. And the devil wants to use those people to have hooks and to pull you back. It seemed like every time when I got out of a certain sin, the devil would make sure that he sent somebody my way that was very good in that sin. And they were so good and they had such an influence on me that before I knew it, I was right back in the middle of it, over my head, wallowing in the pig pen of life. Amen? So you're going to be persecuted in that manner, but you're going to also be persecuted because they don't want you to stand for something that makes them make a choice. So you're standing for Jesus, and you're standing and you're telling them how good God is, and it makes them have to say yes or no. And so they're going to persecute. They're going to come against you. They're going to say things and all of these things. But the Bible says here, Jesus, he said, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Every time that you get persecuted, there's more authority, more provision of heaven that is revealed to you. The devil doesn't know what he's doing. He's setting you up to be more and more and more blessed. He's setting you up to walk in more authority. He's setting you up to walk in more ability to give out what Jesus has gave to you. Amen? All right. The ninth blessing, verse 11. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you. Ever had that happen? Come on. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Every one of us, we've had people that have said that we said certain things and we didn't say that. But you and I, we're not aggravated at them. We're not mad at them because we know, just as the devil used to take the things that we heard and twist it, he took what we said and he twists. See, that's what the devil does. He is the great perverser. He takes truth and he twists it. He takes words and he twists it to cause people to be in confusion and cause people to be hurt. But tonight, you may have been hurt by some things that have happened, but look what Jesus says. He says, if they've hurt you, if they said these things against you, verse number 12, rejoice. Now, if we're going to have God's blessing, we've got to do what He said. Now, when we've got family especially, you know, we got close friends, but we got family, and they say things about us, it hurts. Because they know exactly what to say to try to tear you down, to tear me down. So the only way that we're going to stand, the only way that that's not going to affect us, the only way that's not going to steal our joy is we do like what Jesus said. We start rejoicing. By faith, we just start saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you count me worthy. Thank you, Lord, that you've gave me a testimony. Thank you, Lord, that there's so much light in me that it's hurting the eyes of those in the dark. Thank you, Lord, that there's so much salt in me that it's getting on their wounds. Come on now. We start doing these things and it changes us from the negative to the positive. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. For great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Everybody that's going to walk under the name of Jesus is going to be persecuted. But tonight, you and I are going to be blessed. Because we're going to choose to do what He has said to do tonight. We're going to let Him have all of these things. I want to close with a couple verses of Scripture in the book of Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55, starting in verse number 1. And I want us to make sure that we do this tonight, each and every one of us, under the sound of my voice. Isaiah 55 and 1. The Word of God says, ho, everyone, not some, but everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. I'm thirsty tonight, are you? Come on, I want what God has for me. Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy. That's the craziest thing I ever heard. Got no money, but come and buy. Because Jesus done paid for it. You got a ticket, a claim ticket. That claim ticket is the blood of Jesus. And you just come to the throne of God. You come to Him with that claim ticket, that blood of Jesus. And you say, I'm here. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. I have needs in my life. The devil's tormenting my mind. He's controlling my actions. He makes me say things that I don't really mean. Lord, I need some help. I need you tonight. Ho, everyone that is thirsty, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Whatever you have need of tonight, Jesus Christ wants to give it to you. Amen? Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. He wants to take care of you spirit, soul, and body. Amen? In that order. But He wants to take care of all of them. Verse number 2. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? That's what the Lord's asking. Man, I have wasted so much money. Burn it up. Drunk it up. Done a lot of things with it. But God's got an answer. Amen? And the answer is Jesus. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, your late and labor for that which satisfieth not? Every one of us, we've worked all week and we planned all week what we're going to do when we got our paycheck. Come on now. Man, I had it all planned out. I had the money spent before Monday was even done. God wasn't even in the equation. But God wants to come into my equation tonight stronger and stronger in your equation. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good. Now notice this. Let your soul delight in fatness. That's what God wants. He wants you to be so full of Him, that vessel that is running over, that the blessings of God is coming out of every area of life. Just like in these hot summer days here in Arkansas in this humidity, sweat comes out of every pore. God wants blessing to come out of every pore of who you and I are. One more verse. Incline your ear. Tonight, if you and I, if we'll turn our ear to the Lord, we're going to hear some things that we've never heard before. We're going to understand some things. See, this word means to hear, but it means not just to hear, because I may say something, you may say, what? But when God says something, you say, oh. Oh. It's not just a word. It's a meaning. It's a person. It's Jesus. Amen? Amen. Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. Better said, revive. Your soul shall come alive, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Even the sure mercies of, that means that God will be your God, Jesus will be your Lord, and all the days of your life, the Spirit of God is going to deal with you and help you and show you God's covenant. And it's going to become real more with each breath, with each step, with each word that He speaks. Because He said, I want to prepare a table for you in the midst of your enemies. I want to cause you to lie down beside the still waters. That's our God. And I want you to drink from the still waters and eat from the green pastures in that table right in the midst of your enemy. Now, I don't know what's going on in your life tonight. I don't know, but I do know this, that everything about right now is a divine appointment. This is all the Lord. And so, it's God done some things that was very uncomfortable through Jesus for us. We need to make our flesh uncomfortable for the Lord. Jesus, He was took out and He was tied down and He was beaten. And then He was placed on that cross for all the world to see. And He done that for me. But when His Spirit draws me and asks me to come unto Him, I don't need to be ashamed. I need to stand up and say, Lord, I want to come. So I'm going to ask you tonight. We're going to pray, and I want you to listen. And beyond a shadow of a doubt, because in the name of Jesus, I bind every hindering spirit, every outside voice right now in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank you, Lord, that you said that you would speak to your children. You would call us out by name. Lord, I ask that you would call each person here and help us to empty out where we can fill up starting this new year full of you. In Jesus' name. Speak to your people right now. Whether they need salvation, whether they need healing, whether they need deliverance, whether they need victory, whether they need comfort, whatever it is they need, Lord, whatever the question is, you're the answer. So you tug and draw on our heart and we'll respond in Jesus' name. Would you come? Would you come at the front chairs here or these altars here and make yourself an altar and say, Lord, here I am. I need you in my life. And I know that I'm here by divine appointment. And I want to be overflowing with your word, your truth, your presence. I want the joy of the Lord. I want the blessing of the Lord in every area. I'm tired of mourning. I'm tired of not being in a place of comfort. Would you come tonight? Would you come and say, Lord, here I am. I need you to touch my marriage. I need you to touch my children. I need you to touch my job. I need you to touch my heart. I need you to touch my body. It doesn't matter what it is. He's here tonight to do it.